It's time now for Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Good morning, everybody. This is a great day this morning. We have a wonderful show for you. It includes all my favorite things, dogs, of course, you know I have five, kids, and reading. So something I haven't mentioned before in this program because it's really delving more into animals and the spirit world, but I am a children's author. So I have a children's book out, so this is particularly fun for me this morning because we're going to be talking about reading and kids. So those are my great things. So this morning, I have a lot of guests in the studio with me, so we're going to be very busy. So we're not going to be taking any calls this morning, but please call in next week if you had some questions, okay? So we have a crowd in here this morning, so it's going to be really fun. We have Kelly Maddox and one of her prize students, Nate, and Nate's mom, Amy. So, you know, I have to tell you, looking at the pictures and seeing what goes on with Kelly's program, I don't know who's sweeter, Kelly or Sam, the reading therapy dog. But Kelly Maddox puts smiles on lots of faces when she arrives with her therapy dogs for a reading lesson. She founded and developed the instructional reading program at Leg Up Farm. Excuse me. The program known as Casey's Kids, Canines, and Kids Connect for Reading. It was formerly called Paws for Reading, so some of you may recognize it with that name. Casey's Kids was named after Kelly's first therapy dog, Casey. Kelly is an instructional support teacher at St. Joe's School in Dallas Town. She holds a Bachelor's of Fine Arts degree in Dance and Education from Towson University and a Master of Education from Goucher College. So it's going to be a crowded studio this morning. Me, Kelly, Nate, and Amy. The only one missing this morning is Sam. Sam. So good morning, everybody. Say hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Nate. So, Kelly, this is so much fun. So tell me, how did this reading program get started?
This reading program started as a result of my graduate work at Goucher College. I received my master's in education with a concentration on the at-risk student, and as part of my graduate studies, I had to complete an action research project, also known as a thesis.
Yeah, I like that. New name.
So I wanted to, if I was going to invest that much time and energy into something, I wanted to make sure that it was something that I was not only interested in, but something that I could also use in my daily teaching. So I went to my professors and asked if I could work with at-risk students and animal-assisted therapy. And this was in the late 90s.
Yeah, that this was a new long concept, right?
There was a lot of information out there with therapy dogs, with visiting nursing homes and incarcerated individuals. Not a lot out there with children.
Right.
But thanks to my professor, Dr. Sunshine, she helped me with also a large group of the faculty and gave me permission to actually pursue my dream, which was working with kids and with my therapy dogs. So I actually did action research using children that were at risk, paired them with therapy dogs, and we looked at measuring, the technical word is locus of control.
Okay, and what does that mean to us lay people?
Locus of control is actually the child's belief about whether or not they have some control over their own success or failure. So a child that possesses an internal locus of control holds themselves accountable for their own success and failure. If you have an external locus of control, then you look to put that responsibility on the environment, people around you. You don't actually take responsibility
for that.
Okay,
so you take cues from the other people around you.
Absolutely. So we worked on that with taking some children with the dogs and had them actually work with the dogs over a course of time. And we measured their locus of control. And what I found was that the students actually moved from having a more external locus of control to an internal locus of control. So it proved that it worked.
Oh, well, I can absolutely see how that happens because dogs are all about unconditional love.
Absolutely.
So, of course, if you were reading to them, they're just loving everything that you're doing. So you would be getting all that great positive feedback.
Absolutely. So then once I completed that, I went back and got my reading specialist certification and decided I could combine the two and really use that to make something a little bit more diverse, a little bit more intensive in terms of reading instruction. Because I'm the reading specialist, we could take it one step further, and it wouldn't just be having someone read or having one of my children read aloud to a dog, but I could actually provide the direct instruction. So that's where the whole concept of Pause for Reading, Casey's Kids, that's where it all started.
Right. So you can work together with them while they're doing that. So that is wonderful. So obviously this made a big impact at Goucher too, because I want to congratulate you. I understand you've been asked by the Maryland Department of Education to sit on a select panel with some other reading specialists. That's quite an honor.
Yes. I've received an invitation in the mail because I am an alumni of Goucher and I am one of their students that went through their state-approved program. The State Department's going to be doing a visit in November, and they asked me to come back and sit and join with other graduates just to discuss the program and where we have kind of gone since we've graduated. Are we still there for post-baccalaureate work, that type of thing. So I will be doing that in November.
And what fun for you to be able to tell them the great success you've had with this program. And it all came from doing your thesis.
Absolutely. It all came from the folks at Goucher that gave me the opportunity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that you picked something that was really meaningful, because sometimes I think people just do a thesis to do a thesis and get it over with. And they don't make use of it. And
it's a lot of work. So, yes, it has to be something that you're interested in. It's a lot of work. Probably the most difficult thing that I've ever done, but absolutely the most rewarding, and everything that I have learned there, I can honestly say I use and put into practice with my kids every day.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. So now, how did this get accepted at Leg Up? How did you get connected with Leg Up Farm?
I'm actually a transplant from Maryland. We moved when my son was 3 years old, and I had actually, I went to a craft show or something where there was a booth for Leg Up Farm. And I contacted Lou Castriata and went to him and said, I have this idea. I just finished up all of my graduate work. What would you think about, you know, if I came in and did this program with the children? And he, of course, loved it because Lou was
I'm sure he was jumping all over
all
that
about
one.
The kids and anything that is new and innovative. And he said, absolutely. And that was probably... that was back in the late 90s. So when Lou just had the vision of Leg Up Farm, that's when we made the connection.
And then it was, so you were in at the ground floor.
At the very beginning, yes. But I knew that it was going to be something worthwhile. I knew it was going to be a place where my philosophy was the same as Lou's philosophy. I knew that I was going to be able to make a difference with the kids there. So it was definitely worth the wait.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. So I love it there. So now they work with dogs. They work with the horses.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like so wonderful that the animals are able to bring so much out with kids. So, So what do you think makes this reading program so effective with the kids?
I think there's probably several things. I think the fact that I can individualize the instruction for the child is probably one of the most critical elements, because I'm able to talk with the parents, a lot of times collaborate with the teachers or any support staff that they have, and I can kind of come up with an individual plan. I complete all the assessments ahead of time, look at, are there any weak areas there? What do we really need to focus on? And then I'm really allowed the flexibility to create lessons that can target those areas. And I can do that in a multi-sensory way. I try very hard not to make it like school. Not that there's any, I can't say there's anything wrong with school because I'm in a school. But just try
but
make to make it,
it
a little
so
bit
it has
different,
a different feeling
for the kids. Absolutely.
Because I think that would take away the nervousness and they
absolutely
wouldn't feel that expectation that they had there, so they could
absolutely
just be themselves.
It's also, you know, the parents play a huge part for all of the children that I see. They are supportive. They are more than willing to do their part at home. And for anyone that's out there that's a teacher or an educator, you know how important that is, because if we don't have the educators and the parents working together, that's what really is the key. And then, of course, I have the best motivator in the world, because I have the dog. I have either Sam or Bean with me, and they're able to do things that I can't do. Just the fact that they're there, their presence, for some of my children that have attention issues, it brings a calming effect
to
the
room.
I think
it focuses, too.
Absolutely. Allows them to focus. For my children that have speech issues, it allows them to initiate that conversation, engage in that conversation. And, of course, no one's going to correct their speech because the dog's not going to talk back. It absolutely sparks conversation, because I either have the big yellow dog in the room with me or the little red dog laying there. You know, and just the fact that the dog is there, it's a non-judgmental. They're there to provide the emotional support and the therapeutic benefit of having the dog there.
Yeah, they're just so much love. So now tell everybody, Sam is the dog that you're using right now. And what kind of dog is Sam?
Sam is a yellow Labrador retriever. And we got him from Mason Dixon Game Outfitters. Jim and Kim Lewis were the breeders. And Sam was originally bred to hunt.
Oh, well, this is a change of pace for Sam.
A change of pace
now
for Sam.
Now he's inside all day instead of in the field.
Sam has no desire to hunt.
I was going to say, how did he react
to
that?
He wants to be with people.
He's a people dog.
He absolutely is a people dog. And Kim and Jim knew that Sam needed a job, but they knew that hunting was not for him.
Yeah.
So they were looking for a home, and I contacted them and said, do you think Sam would be a good therapy dog? And they said absolutely. And he is absolutely worth his weight in gold. He really is.
Dogs all need a job. So I think that's great that they recognize that what they thought was going to be Sam's job wasn't working out.
Sam is much happier laying on the floor, isn't he? Much happier laying on the floor with the kids, having the kids love all over him. He occasionally sleeps and snores during our session, but... he is most happy being glued to someone's
side. So what do you think, Nate? You're here with us this morning. So did you get down on the floor with Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, you do, don't you? So he's all over that. So now, what would you normally be doing this morning? You wouldn't be here in the radio station, would you? Where would you be?
At school.
Okay. And what school do you go to, Nate?
Hayshire.
Okay. Well, let's give a big shout out to Hayshire Elementary, okay?
Woo-hoo. Good morning, friends.
I think Hayshire is listening in. So good morning, everybody. We're glad to have you in our listening audience. So now, Nate, you can add radio celebrity your list of accomplishments, because you've been on TV, you've done a commercial. You know, you help at Leg Up Farms. You do autograph sessions. My goodness, you are such a celebrity.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
So, hey, Nate, tell me, what did you think when you had your first reading session and Kelly walks in the door with Sam?
I felt excited.
Yeah. You thought, this is different, isn't it?
You like that big yellow dog, don't you?
He walks right up to you, doesn't he? He knows that's his buddy now.
Oh, so now you're buds. Mm-hmm. So were you nervous at first when you started reading to Sam?
Kind of,
a little?
He's a big boy, isn't he? He's a big 85-pound boy. So he's
sweet.
Big.
Yeah. So do you have any dogs at home of your own? Oh, you do. Oh, what's your doggy's name?
Yogi.
He's a Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh, so you're used to little tiny dogs. Yeah, I see you. Little tiny dogs. Yeah, so Sam was like a giant compared to Yogi, wasn't he?
Yep.
That would make you a little nervous, wouldn't it? So how do you feel when you read to Sam? How does that make you feel?
Happy,
yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
How's your reading?
Yeah, so how is your reading?
How's your reading?
Great.
Great.
Absolutely.
Two thumbs up. I'm seeing two thumbs up. Mom and Kelly are agreeing. So Kelly, tell us a little bit. I know there's a little story here about Sam's buddy, Nate. So how about you just take a minute and read that to us?
Okay. This is from the Courage to Dream story that was written by Lou Castriata. Nathan, an 8-year-old boy with light brown hair, lays his head on Sam, a 4-footed, leg-up employee. Samson is a retriever. Technically, he is a Labrador retriever. His specialty is reading, that is, being read to. Sam and his owner, Kelly Maddox, work with kids like Nathan as part of our instructional reading program in Matthewstown. You can usually find them lying next to the huge yellow doghouse. There, Nathan reads the children's book, Flax Stanley, by Jeff Brown, aloud. Nathan pauses when he comes across a word he does not know, sounding it out slowly. Sam listens patiently and wags his tail encouragingly. Nathan drapes his whole body over Sam and reads the next page. Since he started with Sam, Nathan has advanced 2 reading levels.
Wow.
Nathan's happy, his mom is happy. We're pretty sure Sam is happy, too. I think Sam is probably most happy.
So, you know, I think Sam probably thinks he has the best job any dog could have. How about?
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
So now you've been reading to Sam. Do you ever try reading to Yogi at home?
Mm-mm. No, Yogi usually doesn't sit still. Yogi's kind of all over the place.
See, that's the difference between little dogs and big dogs. Because I have 5 big dogs at home. Mm-hmm. I have Golden Retrievers, Newfoundland, and a Great Pyrenees.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. So the Great Pyrenees looks like a little pony. So that'd make your eyes go wide, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I can imagine this right now.
You could probably ride on a Maggie, I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
So now tell me, what do you think Sam thinks while you're reading? What do you think goes through his head?
Well, his reading is awesome.
Okay.
I would agree. I think Sam does think that your reading is awesome.
Yeah.
How far have you come from day one? This is not the same child that came to me the first time. Is it?
So I think this therapy helps with more than just reading skills, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What do you say, Amy?
I think for me, I see the confidence in him mm-hmm. has grown tremendously since the first time he went with Kelly. His fluency is so much better. His confidence is so much better. And this year, for the first time, he started on grade level.
Wow.
Rather than
congratulations.
Than regressing.
Yeah,
so
high five.
We are, for the first time, exactly where we need to be. And I think, I owe all that to Kelly. And his teachers. His teachers
Not
have
all.
Been phenomenal.
His teachers, but
his
it
teachers
is also,
I think,
it's the home component, too.
Well, and I think it's much more relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that pressure at Leg Up Farm and with Sam.
Yeah, I think it's obviously the culmination of everything. Like Kelly, you said that. I mean, it's this program, it's the help at home, it's the help in school, and it all comes together.
But do I cut you any slack, Nate?
Nope.
She is just as tough on him as his teachers are on him. And that expectation is there, too. I mean, just as at school he has that expectation, he does with Kelly, too.
Well, that's good.
But I think reading aloud to Sam, the fluency is better because nobody is over him saying, let's go, let's go, let's go, or correcting his mistakes. So,
right. He has the opportunity to go at his own level.
Absolutely.
Go at his own speed. And without having that judgment that you just get from other kids and other things when you're in a different environment.
And we work a lot on whatever the skills are. He's still getting the skills. I just introduce them in a different way for him. So there's differentiation there, which is important for any child. And I try to focus it more on what his learning style is. But we still, I time him. He doesn't always know it.
Right.
I time him.
So Kelly's sneaky. She's one of those sneaky reading specialists. Isn't she, Nate?
Yeah.
And I make him write his least favorite thing of all.
Yes. But Kelly also works well with the teacher. Yeah. If there's ever, if we have a meeting at school or a concern at school, Kelly is more than willing to get together with his teachers as they are to get together with Kelly and work on the same plan. They have the same goal.
Exactly. And that's, I really think that's key, because any of my kids that come for reading, I want to make sure that I'm doing the exact same thing and supporting whatever it is that they're learning in school.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Well, I love that. I love that Hayshire and the people there, you know, recognize the benefit of this program and are working in tandem with you to make this all come together for
Absolutely.
The child.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's Central School District, right?
Yes, it is.
So that's Panther Country.
Yeah.
That's definitely Panther Company. Well, very good. So we've seen lots of changes in Nate with this program. Mm-hmm. And so you're sort of like the ambassador for the reading program, aren't you, Nate?
Absolutely.
Yep.
I've had Nate since day one.
Oh, so you're one of the first.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you tell some of the other kids about the program when you're at Leg Up? Do you get a chance?
Nope.
No, you keep it all to yourself.
Yeah. It's his secret.
It's his secret.
It's your secret.
Do you talk about it at school at all?
Nope.
No.
But what kind of things have you been able to do? Think back. What have you done?
Done a commercial?
Done a commercial.
Yeah, you're done a commercial.
Been in a book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're in the book.
He's in the book, too.
He's in the book. You were on the TV show when they did the Courage to Dream and they did the TV special. You were in that.
Wow.
So you've done horse shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Boy, mm-hmm. Those are some opportunities a lot of children don't have.
Very blessed.
mm-hmm. So that's fabulous.
What else did we do, Nate? What's more importantly, what did you do? Because you go there and you benefit. However, your family also gives back. And what did we do in the spring? You also give back. And what did we do in the spring?
Did a walk.
We did a walk.
Oh.
Tell Miss Jackie, what did we do? What was it for? It was Leg Up Farm, Alarm at the Farm. And what did you raise money for?
Charity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wonderful.
And what was your team's name?
Team Nate Dog.
Team Nate Dog. Absolutely. And we dressed up Sam, didn't we? We put him in a Team Nate Dog shirt.
Yep.
Why not Bean?
Because Bean's too little to wear a T-shirt. And Bean's the princess, you know. Mm. She's the princess. She wouldn't do it.
So I see this picture. Even Sam has this
red T-shirt
on. You guys look great. Look mm-hmm. at you all with your red T-shirts, Team Nate Dog. So how much money did you raise? Do you remember?
That's a good question.
I have no idea. Like $1,000?
Probably.
What did you say? $1,000? I don't know.
No.
It doesn't matter. The point is you're giving back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the big point. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. It could have been $10. It's the Absolutely. Idea that you guys all joined together, you know, to do this walk. And I know it was more than 10.
It was more than 10.
He's giving me the look. Okay, Gil, do we need to take a little break?
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
This portion of Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back. Hey, Gil, did you just say low 70s? Oh, with the weather, I'm thinking, my goodness, all of a sudden it's going to be warm again. We'll be back in our T-shirts, won't we?
Absolutely.
Hey, this is so much fun for me this morning because, as I mentioned, I'm also a children's author. So I invite everybody to go to my website. You'll see that it says Psychic Medium, Animal Communicator, and Children's Author. So please visit it. It's JackieLeBeau.com, JackieLeBeau.com. I have lots of fun things about my book and about me as an author, and things for kids to see and do. I have little games on there. It's really a fun site. So also let people know, too, that I do school visits. So if anybody is looking for a children's author to come to school and talk to the kids, I've done some great programs. And I can get you in touch with some other the teachers that I've worked with, so it's really a good thing. But I also have a special surprise here this morning. I have something special, and I'm getting them out right now. You hear all this noise? Something for Nate.
Look, Nate, it's a baby Samson.
Oh, oh, baby. Go ahead,
Samson. And something for Kelly.
Like
okay, we're opening them up, and look what that is.
Nate.
What's it called?
What did it say?
If I could fly.
Yeah, way to go.
That is awesome.
So I have you're welcome. I have copies of my book for both Nate and Kelly. I signed them for you, honey.
Says. Who's that say? To who?
Sweet.
What did it say there? Who does it say?
To
Nate Dog.
To Nate Dog.
Nate, maybe Miss Jackie could come and read this at the farm, but maybe you could help her.
Oh, that would be great.
What do you think about that?
Okay. We could do that together.
You could read it together, and we'll make Sam. We'll have Sam there, and maybe Bean. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that sounds like fun.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I have to tell everybody, the book is titled If I Could Fly. It's a hardcover. It's filled with beautiful watercolor illustrations from my illustrator, Barbara Morrow, who's everything in the book is local. So we really wanted to do that way. Barbara is in the Windsor Red Line area. It was printed right here in Gettysburg. And it has a read-along CD.
I love it.
And the CD, the music from the CD is from a local group here called Copper Sky. And they're from Lancaster and Dover. And the book was printed in Columbia. So we were really, really committed to doing this locally. So Nate has an extra copy of a book.
Look,
to
where is it going?
Who's the extra copy go to?
To Hayshire!
Yay, Hayshire gets one too.
So he's got a book for Hayshire, and Kelly also has an extra book.
Wonderful.
So she can also take that to St. Joseph's.
That's awesome. Thank
you. In Dallas Town. So Nate, when you get back, you'll want to drop that off with your librarian.
After you show your principal.
Yeah, show your principal.
Mrs. Nair first.
And then and then all the other kids can share it too. Yes. Yeah, so
I think
fun.
You should read that book to your class.
Wow.
You always
an
have
idea.
To do a read aloud for your class anyway.
Yes.
It's perfect for read aloud. It's perfect for read aloud. You'll just love it.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to do what I do when I'm at the school. There's a part in it that includes singing.
Oh, boy.
Can you sing,
Absolutely.
Nate?
Absolutely. You can sing.
You can sing.
You can sing, Nate.
No,
we know
can't.
You can.
Oh, now when you might have to sing in public, I can't. But that's okay. I feel the same way. I get to that point and I go, oh, my gosh, I'm going to try singing. Yeah. So, Kelly, tell me, we've been talking about Nate. Tell me about Sam. Does Sam know he's going to reading? Does he know he's going to meet the kids?
Sam absolutely does. He, very much at home, is very much the Velcro companion hooked to my side. He is definitely a mama's boy, without a doubt. But he absolutely knows. When we get ready, I have a certain bag that I use. He has a certain collar that he wears that he knows it's time to go to work. So as soon as I grab the bag and the keys and his collar, he knows. And you can hear Sam as soon as I make the left turn into the farm and pull into the parking lot. For as quiet as he is during our reading sessions, is as noisy as
oh
he is when we pull into
so
the
he's
parking.
Barking?
He barks and he cries and he whines and that's not his
he's
personality.
He's so excited.
He cannot, and he can't wait to get through the door because he and Bean both have gotten very spoiled at the farm because whenever we're there, it's not just children that I see, but the therapists come in and the staff comes in and other children come in. So he gets all the attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves it.
He's big man on campus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'd be barking and yipping too if I was going to get all that loving when I got there.
But yet when he's in the room and he lays down, that's
it. Yeah, because now he's working.
When Nate did the commercial with him, they said, you know, we just want him to run. And I thought, oh, well, we can try, because Sam doesn't usually run after much of anything, a ball here or there. So I wasn't quite sure. But once Nate got on the bike and took off, Sam was like, okay, I'll run after him. That's my buddy. It's okay.
Yeah.
I can do this.
So it was okay if he was going after you. You know, I always tell people, you know, because with animals, like if they really read what's in our minds. Mm-hmm. So if he was seeing in Kelly's mind, too, you running, Nate, and Sam chasing you, Sam would see that and say, oh, okay, I'm supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, because they take their cues from us.
Absolutely.
And it's all, you know, telepathy, it's all internal. So good. So he said, okay, I'm supposed to run. Usually he doesn't do things like that. What a gentleman, huh?
No, he's very quiet. Very quiet,
and
very gentle.
He did a great job, too, I might add.
He did.
Yeah.
Very quiet demeanor. Very, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. I love that. So you're going to have to try reading to some other animals. So now let me ask you, too. You said Sam meets with some of the other kids. Now, is anybody ever scared of Sam when they first see him?
Usually.
Because he's big.
Usually the children that I get are ones that like animals.
Mm-hmm.
There have been very few cases where I've had a child that has come to me and decided that, no, I'm afraid. Sometimes there have been children that have been referred and the parents did not even realize that the child had a fear of animals.
Right.
So in that particular case, I mean, if there is real fear there, that's usually not a child that would be appropriate. However, what I encourage the parents to do is whenever we're at the farm and you see me with Sam, let your child gradually work up towards petting, talking to, seeing from
take
a distance.
Baby steps.
With the, you know, in the hopes that eventually one day, but sometimes the parents don't even realize that there's been a bad experience or that fear exists for their child.
Sometimes, honestly, it comes from the parents, you know, because either they have had a fear or they're afraid for their child for no reason, just because they're overprotective.
Right.
And, you know, so that, you know, kids pick up on that.
Right.
You know, you're going to laugh at this, but as a kid, I was afraid of dogs. My friend had this little dachshund. You know how little those are? Do you know what they look
little
like? Those
little
wiener dogs.
Hot dogs.
And I was afraid of this dog. And now you see me, I have these five huge dogs.
Right.
You know, Maggie's like this little pony. And my mom sometimes will say, I can't believe you were afraid of dogs.
Well, and then we also have the flip side of that where the children are so accustomed to them being in the building that they will just run up and pet them. So I have to always caution them. You can do that with Sam or you can do that with Bean. But if you're outside of this setting, make sure you stop and ask, is it okay if I pet your dog and put your hand out? Don't just run up on a dog that you don't know for safety reasons.
Yeah. And kids can be so different. The gal who does my hair, she has two kids, and her oldest is a boy, and he's really afraid of animals, and her youngest is this little girl who, like, runs up to any animal she sees, and, like, my friend has to do the same thing. She has to, like, grab her because you don't know. That's not really the way to approach a dog that you don't know.
Right.
So there you have in the same family. So, like, what happened there, you know?
Right, exactly.
So it's interesting. But you have a dog at home, so you were never nervous around Sam, were you, Nate?
No.
So the other kids that come over, what kinds of things do you let Sam, I mean, how does he help them with things?
I think, you know, as I said before, my children with, you know, attention issues, it definitely helps them to focus. What I find is they will come in and whatever has happened from school, and I engage in that conversation with them, and we're talking, and as soon as they sit down and put their hands on Sam and they start petting, mm-hmm. there's just a calmness and then we're ready for instruction. I have some kids that have hands-on all the time. You know, I have others that come in and say hello, give a pat on the head, sit down, do their work, and then give a pat on the head. Or, you know, others of them will say, scoot closer, and have him creep, you know, across. I also share stories with them about Sam, because he is a big boy, 85 pounds. But he also, as with children, he has his own, you know, issues at times. He's petrified of bugs.
Oh, that's
so the kids
riot.
Will laugh. I'll say, you know, a ladybug landed. He's scared. Or if there's a toad out on the deck, he won't go outside.
Boy, some hunter. No wonder he flunked hunting.
But that lets them see, oh, okay, as big as he is, he also has some things that he has to, you know, has to work on. So there's always something going on.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, great. So I can't believe that he's afraid of that, too.
He's afraid of the ladybug, yeah. Everything else, the noises, any of the outside things, does not faze him at all. But we did find out that bugs, he's just afraid.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about them sitting down and petting him mm-hmm. and how calm that makes mm-hmm. him. You know, because I know that they use dogs a lot. You'll find them a lot in retirement communities.
Absolutely.
And nursing homes, because it also gives them, you know, there's something about that, you know, sort of releases different chemicals.
It's a therapeutic
benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's research there to support that there's actual physical benefits to having an animal present.
Yeah.
And he has also learned, if the children stop petting him, he will take his big nose and nudge them, like, okay, I want you to pet me a little bit more.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're winding down, right, Gil?
2 minutes.
Okay, so I want to take this opportunity. I want to thank Kelly.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Nate and Amy Campisi
for joining
us this morning. Yay, Nate.
We had a good time, didn't we, Nate? Yes.
This has been a lot of fun. And I'm going to have a link to this broadcast next week up on my site. So you can go to there and you can listen to it as often as you want. And maybe your class can listen to it, too. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, real quick before we close, I want to let everybody know that we'll be returning to the world of intuition and mediumship next week. My guest will be Bruce Orion. And Bruce is a historian, an astrologer, a hypnotherapist, and a speaker. So he's got quite a resume there. He's appeared on radio and television talk shows, the Discovery Channel. He wrote a weekly astrological column, and he has taught astrology. So for most of his life, Orion has studied history, specifically conspiratorial history, and is a recognized speaker on the secret societies. So in his lectures, he revisits the historical timeline. He shares little-known facts about politics, economics, and religion. He's also been a frequent speaker at the United Nations, where he addressed the Parapsychology Club. And as a result of those talks, he's developed clientele from 3 continents. So tune in next week, everybody. I promise you this will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not often we get somebody who's also addressed the United Nations in
Absolutely.
Here. Although, I don't know, Nate, the way you're going.
Superstar, right?
Superstar. I think it could happen. You could be next.
I think so, too.
I think that would be wonderful.
And Nate has a picture for you. This is the one that appeared in the book.
Oh,
so he will sign that for you.
I love this. You guys should all see this picture. It's Nate, and he's laying right on the floor here with Sam petting
him. Boy Scout uniform.
In his Boy Scout uniform. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Tune in next week, and give us a call then. We'll be doing readings on the air as well. So, you know, don't hesitate. And looking forward to seeing you all then. Bye-bye.